life can throw us some curveballs, amen? And yet, little do we know, it could be worse. And for somebody else, it is worse, amen? We thank God for his divine providence and for his love for us and wrapping his arms around us even in the most difficult times, amen? And also, as we acknowledge mothers, I want to highlight and acknowledge my wife. Amen. I know she stands in the gap for me. I know she prays for me. I know she is on my side, and I know I couldn't be where I am without her. So I don't have a mother any longer here on earth, but I have somebody that's on my side that's got my best interest at heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So today we celebrate mothers and motherhood like no other day. We've had, I don't know, this is our fifth Mother's Day, I think. But today is your day. Mothers, look me in the eye. Today is your day. And I mean that. Today is your day. If you didn't feel special before you came here, you ought to leave here feeling special. Amen?
Yes.
We're going to acknowledge the fact that Mother's Day or motherhood is actually God's idea. If you disagree with any aspect of it, you need to go talk to God. It was his idea. It didn't have to be. But he had his reasons. It was his idea. And while motherhood, we give a lot of glory and there's all sorts of attention that comes to it, it's not easy. Mothers, do you agree?
Amen.
It's not easy being a mother. Those of us men who think it might be easy, you better think again. It is not easy being a mother. One of the reasons for that is that motherhood never really takes a break. Motherhood never stops to rest. Never stops to rest. Your children can grow up, move out of the house, start doing their own thing. They can be thousands of miles away. They can go off and get married. It doesn't matter. Mothering never shuts off. Never takes a break. And so that mother, no matter what you're doing, she's going to have a concern for you. She's going to have your best interest in mind. She is going to have an opinion. She's going to have an opinion. She's going to have some words. And if you're fortunate, she's going to share those words with you. And if indeed that mother ever turns that faucet off, that means you really want her out. If mother shuts down, if she stops giving you her opinion, if she stops interjecting herself in your life, something's wrong. If mama shuts down, that's when you should be worried. Don't worry when she's bothering you. Don't worry when she's got an opinion. Don't worry when she's nagging you. Don't get upset when she's got something to say. When she stops, that means she understands that you're not listening and you don't care. When she stops, because for a while she's going to tell you whether you like it or not. She's going to tell you whether you think she's great or not. She's going to tell you whether it's difficult to know that you're not listening or not. But when and if she stops, that's when you need to start worrying. Amen?
Amen.
We know she's going to pray for you, but if that's all she's doing, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on something. Now, women are special, are they not?
Amen.
Ladies, I told you, this is your day. This is your day. God made women from man. Is that right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Reached in there. He said, man should not live, you know, shouldn't be alone, right? And he reached in there and took that rib. And what did he do? He made woman. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some would say, and I'm not sure they're wrong, that God made woman from man, but in the process, he made some upgrades. He came out with something better the second time around. Amen. Anybody agree with me?
Amen.
Amen. See, there you go. There you go. There you go. Uh-huh. You know, he made the initial model, you know, the base model with man. Man's like an F-150. He's basic. He's straightforward. He's pragmatic. But the next time, he got a little fancier with it. And when he took that rib, he made woman. It wasn't no F-150, I can tell you that. It wasn't a pickup truck. Pragmatic, straightforward, Right? No, he made a much more complicated instrument. Am I right, ladies? Much more complicated. You need an instruction manual. You need an instruction manual for this one. I tell you, women are complex and advanced organisms. Strong, very strong in some ways, and yet oh so delicate in some others. Amen?
Amen?
So we know that men and women are different. We know that fathers and mothers are different. But today we're going to explore. Today is your day, ladies. We're going to explore the woman and the mother. Are you with me?
Amen.
Turn to the nearest mother and tell her, I'm glad that God made you.
I'm glad that God made you.
This is your day. I am glad that God made you.
This is your day.
Amen, amen, amen. This is your day. I hope you feel special. Now, a few years ago, we discovered a father's love, did we not?
Yes.
We got a lot of folks in counseling because they're looking for their father to be a male version of their mother with all kinds of disappointment and heartache and upset. And hopefully we learned what to expect from a father, what a father provides for you so you can appreciate it rather than bemoaning it, amen?
Amen?
Because he's a gift from God. But we learned that story, we learned that concept from the prodigal son's story, but we're going to Genesis today to explore motherhood. And our text will be found in the book of Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to be emphasizing verses 1 and 2 and also verse 25. And as we prepare to go there, we're going to think about what happened in Genesis chapter 3. You know we've been there many times.
Yes.
When Adam and Eve both sinned, amen?
Amen.
I began to wonder as I was pondering this text and reading over it, it's like, where is Adam? I mean, this guy, I mean, he's the first one. He had this relationship with God, and that was great. He got to name all the animals and all that. But he's kind of missing other than that. One of these days, I'm going to have to break that one down. I don't know when it's coming. I'm going to have to break that one down. He's kind of missing, I tell you. He wasn't an example for us to follow, brothers. You better be close to God because you can't go in here and find it. I'm telling you. But Adam and Eve both sinned, and they both had punishments. Eve had childbirth as her punishment. Is that right? Mm-hmm. That was a trick question. Eve did not have childbirth as her punishment. There you go. There you go. Actually, and Adam's punishment was tilling the ground, right? No. No. Adam was tilling the ground already. That wasn't a problem. The problem was now that the ground was no longer going to cooperate so easily. And he was going to have to sweat for it and fight with those weeds and deal with those entanglements. That was the issue. He was going to till the ground, and it was a beautiful thing. But because he blew it, God showed you what it's like when he just takes his pinky finger off your situation. When he just lowers that hedge just a little bit, we don't realize what could really be happening in our lives if God just turned away for a second. We get upset about our situation. Can I just tell you something? I know you all have something in your life that seems insurmountable and challenging. Can I just tell you it could be worse? Can I tell you it could be worse? If debt is your problem and you know I don't want it to be, are you healthy? Do you have health insurance? Do you have a job? Is any bill going unpaid? Do you have family that loves you? Even through difficult times, you have each other. You are not alone.
Amen.
There are some people who are alone. There's some folks who are older and some who are younger that don't feel like they have anybody that cares about them. All God has to do is take his pinky finger off, and you'll realize how much you have, how much tougher it could be. And all you have to do is go on Skid Row and see how life can go wayward. If you talk to some of those folks, they could be us. They were us. They're not all drug addicts. No, life happens. Amen? Amen? Life happens. And so Adam and Eve both had a role to play. Adam was tilling the soil, but now it's not going to be so easy. And Eve was always supposed to be the bearer of the children. Amen? Amen. She was always going to be the conduit to life. The difference is, because of what she did, it was not going to be so easy. And children, let me just tell you, your parents have been a hedge for you when you don't realize it. You won't really understand until you get there. It could have been so much tougher. That curfew was 10 o'clock. It could have been 9, by the way. Amen? Amen? But women were designed and ordained to be the incubator for human life. And the bonding between the child and the mother starts very early. It starts in the womb. Amen? This is God's design we're talking about. And so when we decide to acknowledge how special women and mothers are, all we're doing is simply agreeing with God, because he feels like they're special. He did get it right the first time. He did come out with a better product. Men, we have a couple of things over women. We are stronger, we may be more agile, and in most cases, we are better at math. I said most. Most. But I'm just telling you, in every other way, they are the superior one. You're just going to have to get used to that and get over that. What it means, however, is that you have to be one serious God man to get her to respect you. And to get her to follow you spiritually. Am I right, women? Amen. I wasn't so loud, so maybe. Amen. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. I went to God to help me put this together, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am. Amen. And I don't mean that to be an insult. Men, what that means is you need to be on your game. There's some things that attract women. There's some things that will keep a woman coming along. And we often fall down on the job on those things. But this is about the women, not the men today. Amen? Amen? But the bonding starts in the womb. We're talking about motherhood. And this bond that starts in the womb as you carry that child for 9 months, it gets strengthened during the childbirth. Yes, it's painful. And it wasn't originally meant to be. But that bond actually increases as the baby comes through the birth canal. Did you know that? It even becomes stronger immediately after birth. It strengthens. And then it grows during breastfeeding, if you choose to breastfeed. And even if you don't, the nurturing and the close proximity during feeding increases the bond. But especially if you breastfeed. I'm not on a crusade for breastfeeding, but I'll explain to you why I say this. I say this because almost all of these things that create and strengthen this bond between mother and child are facilitated or mediated through a single hormone. Anybody medical here know what hormone I'm talking about? The hormone is called oxytocin. Oxytocin. In medical terms, we call it Pitocin. So when you hear a woman and her labor is being induced and they use Pitocin, it is the medical version of oxytocin. And oxytocin is a hormone that does a lot of things that you didn't know it was doing. Oxytocin is the thing that helps that uterus contract down to push the baby out when it's time to go. Oxytocin also is what pushes the placenta out, the afterbirth. This is a very, very important hormone. It also is what drops the milk down so that the baby can suckle. Oxytocin is known as the attachment hormone. Even between men and women, when certain things happen, which I can't say because we have children here, oxytocin is heightened, and it actually increases the bond between husband and wife, between man and woman. So guess what, people, ladies especially, more oxytocin is better. Did you get that message? More oxytocin increases the bond. And so if you don't have enough oxytocin coursing through your veins, it's not as good. Amen? When men and women get to the peak of their situation when they are in mutual relationship together. Oxytocin is at work, and it increases the bond. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So oxytocin has a lot to do with why we all get here. Amen. 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 So the point in the end is that the deck is stacked toward the mother in terms of bonding with that child because of this hormone. There's so many links to the bond, the bond that's shared between mother and child that's just not the same as for the father. I'm trying to teach you something here today. The deck is stacked, and it's the deck is stacked. I'm sorry, and God chose this design. God chose to have the woman have the stronger bond with the child, particularly in the beginning. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, with this in mind, let's go on to our text. We're talking about women. We're talking about how special they are. We're talking about the bond that mother and child have and the fact that it's part of God's design. He designed it this way. He planned it this way. Now, men, we have our part to play. And I'm not sure you're going to get to understand that through this text. You'll see what I mean when we go there. But after all of the punishments have been declared and God drove us out of the garden, why? For our own good, not out of anger, not out of hatred, but out of love. The next thing that we find in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife." We can stop right there, and men, you can take a bow. Adam knew Eve, his wife. You can take a bow. You can feel proud of yourself. You can stick your chest out, because that's about it. After this, it's all Eve, buddy. It's all Eve. Adam knew Eve. We're good about it. We're good at that. You know, men, that we're good for something. We will know a woman. And I know that the children might not know what the Bible's talking about. When Adam knew Eve, and she conceived, meaning she got pregnant, and then she bare Cain. So knowing is an intimate act. Knowing for the children, here's knowing. Knowing, when a man knows a woman, it's when they make these crazy noises that only storks can hear. And 9 months later, the stork comes and he brings the baby on by. And if 9 months later comes and the baby doesn't come, that means they just didn't yell right. They didn't yell in the right tone. So if you hear it more than once, it's because they're trying to get it right. They're trying to get it right. So that's what knowing means. When man knows a woman, it's when they get together and they make these noises. And sometimes you'll hear they're just trying to get the stork to come. And if he doesn't come, they're just trying to get it right. So if it happens more often, it's not anything bad. They're just working on it. They're working on a building. Is that all right? Did I get the point across? Did I get the point across in a sanitary way? Amen. Amen. Because this knowing stuff, this is not the last we're going to talk about it, so I need to get it in there so that the children can follow along. I don't want them to fall asleep on me. I need them to stay engaged. All right? So you know you have people do calls for birds and other animals. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Sometimes that's what it sounds like when they're calling the stork. You see, so if that sounds kind of familiar, it's because they're trying to call that stork. Amen, amen. So Adam knew Eve, his wife, and then he took a bow. And then Eve conceived, and she bare her son Cain. And then she said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man from the Lord." Now, let's see what this word gotten means, just about what it sounds like. It means to acquire. I've acquired, I've gained possession of a man from the Lord. So, brothers, it did not start in 2016. This issue of possession started very, very early. The moms have always had the inside track. I'm just trying to tell you, it's not you. I know there's a few deviations from the theme, but let me just tell you, whose baby is it? I'll ask you, whose baby is it? You tell me, was this Adam's baby or Eve's baby? You know for sure what Eve was thinking. She says, I have got him. Me, a man from the Lord. Now, let's notice one other thing. Not only do we know that she uses terms that are indicative of possession. So just understand, it didn't start today. It didn't start with us. But also notice that she realizes from whence cometh her gift. She says, not just I've got a man, but from the Lord. Women are often more spiritual than men. I already told you we have strength and agility and we can do math better. Just about everything else, they are the supreme, superior one. And so you've got to really be serious to rise above that and be a true God man that she can follow, that she can respect, because part of her punishment is that she's going to have to care about you, look up to you, depend on you, and she hates it. We talked about this years ago. She does not like it, but that's part of the punishment. That's just the way it is, that she's got to depend on, want, look for compliments from, look for affirmation from this man that she can run circles around. It's the truth. We're F-150s for the most part. And she knows she's a Ferrari. She can do donuts around us. Now, in a head-to-head collision, we got her. In most cases. Now, if your wife is bigger than your F-150, then what? You know, now if she can beat you up and she makes more money, and you better be some kind of spiritual. You better know the Lord. But by and large, we're stronger. We're usually bigger. We know math, and maybe we have a little hand-eye coordination on them. But understand, in every other way, God created the advanced model. The second time around, there's a burden that comes with being advanced, however. You get an F-150, you pretty much know what's going on. Now try getting into a Ferrari. Complicated, isn't it? Complicated, and sometimes it's just not worth it. It'd be simpler to just get in your simple car, get in, and drive, right? But women are more complicated. But God made it that way. And so Eve said, I've gotten me a man. But she knew where it came from. So remember, men, you need to be a serious God man if you want a woman to follow you, because she is more apt to be spiritual than you. She's just more apt to be spiritual. That's just the way it is, and you can see that throughout the Bible. Now, the Bible tends to be, it's written from a paternal and a male standpoint, so it's easy to miss women's role. But that's just the way it was written. That doesn't mean that's the way it was. Amen? Amen. Now let's go to verse 2. We're not quite done yet, but I'm making good time. I'm going to get you guys out of here early, I say. Amen, amen. And even Sister LaQuisha, when she's looking for the text to put it on the website, it's not going to be too far into the recording. It's going to be early on. Amen? Amen. So we know here that Eve has a sense of possession, a closeness, a sense of ownership of this child. It gets to be difficult when we go into the courts on this issue. But there is, from the very beginning, that's my baby. And Eve understood that God is the one that gave her that baby. That's a spiritual viewpoint. Amen? Amen. Now let's go on to verse 2 where it says, and she again bare his brother Abel. Now what's missing there? Adam. Where is this dude? So on the first time, Adam knew his wife. Take a vow. Now there's no more Adam. He's done his part. His part is so insignificant and so brief that the second time around, we don't even need to mention him. This is Eve's baby. And so Eve had another child. You know what I'm saying? Had Abel. So Cain had at least a father. They make it look like Abel had a baby daddy. Don't even have to mention him. She bare again. We don't even have to talk about how, all this knowing stuff. Bare his brother Abel. And it is amazing how Adam's small part is not even mentioned. But we know what happened after Cain and Abel came on the scene. Cain killed Abel. Do you remember why he killed Abel? Jealousy. Absolutely, absolutely. And if you read on further, you'll see that Cain was far out of the house before God decided to bring another child into this situation. Can you imagine how difficult it had to be for Eve, but also for Adam, to have one son kill the other? To be in mourning because your second child has passed, and then to be conflicted because it's your first child that did it. So we know how mothers feel about their children. You can look on the news and there's a murderer, they've killed someone. Does the mother ever, look at their child, even if they're convicted or even if they're thought to have murdered someone, she still sees the positive in that child. It's amazing how that bond is. Your child can never be evil in your eyes. Even if they've done evil, you still don't see them that way because of the bond that happened so early on. You know them when they were not that way, and that's always what you carry in your heart. There were no neighbor children, but most likely if there were neighbor children, Eve would have blamed the influence of Cain on the neighbor children. But I'm still going to ask you now. One brother, the wife is gone off and she's fooling with the fruit, and this man is talking in her ear, and that is Satan, by the way. And where is Adam? And now the boys, they're supposed to be hanging out and taking care of each other and being each other's keeper, and one's killing the other one. I'm still asking, where is Adam? I'm curious. He's never on the scene until God catches him, and then he tries to put it on the woman and, didn't live up to his responsibility. I'm not trying to beat up on us, brothers, but I do wonder, where is he? Where is this guy? But you know that they were going through some things. You know that they were very saddened, and yet I'm talking about a mother's heart, and I know that even though Cain killed Abel and even though Cain had to pay for that, I know that his mother could not see him as evil, and we don't see anything anywhere in the Bible where their opinions are stated, but I'm talking about a mother's heart because I'm talking about how special they are and that God made it so. God made it so. Now let's move on over to verse 25 of the same chapter. Verse 25. Amen. And it reads, "And Adam knew his wife again." So Adam's back on the scene. He gets a little airtime now. Amen. And he's doing that knowing thing. Isn't that a good thing, brothers? Yes, indeed. You got a little something in here for you. Yes, indeed. He knew his wife again. The shop is open. He knew his wife. So children, this knowing thing, it happened again. So the big noise that caused the storks happened again. He knew his wife again. It says, "And she bare a son and called his name Seth." Amen. Because she named him Seth, because God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel. So Adam knew his wife again. "And she bare a son and called his name Seth, for God," she said, this is coming from Eve. We don't get to hear much from Adam, but we get to hear Eve's thoughts. And she says, she named him thusly, "because God hath appointed her another seed instead of Abel. Now, who did God appoint it to? To her. Is there any doubt in your mind who he appointed it to? He's appointed me. Amen. So, brothers, you can take another bow. But let's look at this issue as she describes this fact that God has appointed her another seed, another son is what she's really talking about. I want you to note how she pivots at this point from the language of possession and ownership to a language of God appointing her a son to fill in the hole that the tragedy created. Now, don't get me wrong. If a child ever passes, there is no one or no thing that can truly replace that child in that mother's heart or in that family's heart, in those parents' heart. But the point here is that she goes from, I've got me a man and I know where it came from. I know how I got him. To the fact that I'm naming him Seth because God has appointed. There's a lot of terms she could have used. The thought she's trying to get across is God looked at my situation and he waited a while. He didn't do it right away. He waited until Cain was up and out, and then he gave us a refresh start. He pushed the reset button and he appointed me another seed to be in the place of Abel. I don't think I can actually get this point across strongly enough. What she is saying, and this is again indicative of her spiritual superiority, she understood the nature of God's character. She understood how God was working in her life. She had a baby. She understood it was spiritual. She had another baby. She understood not only that it was spiritual, but she understood the difference between getting her first son in the first go-round and getting this one. I'm trying to get you to understand how spiritual women typically are. Men, we are straightforward, black and white, simple F-150s, or choose whatever. If you like Chevy, let's make it a Chevy. Okay? But the point here is that women were designed to be the incubators of humankind, and this bond that comes along, and there's even a hormone that helps create and intensify that attachment, and the baby comes out, and she has a sense of ownership. That's my baby. I know you helped me make it. I know you had your momentary contribution, but this is my baby. Now, it's not completely her baby, but in her mind, when that baby comes out, that's her baby. Just trying to tell you, kind of doesn't end. It starts then, but it doesn't end. I know you're the daddy, but look, who knows? Who really knows? Here's something we have no doubt about. That's my baby. He's going to always be my baby. Now, you can marry him all you want. Let me just tell you, that's my baby. When you think his stuff don't stink, I know it stinks. That's your problem if you're going to be in Lolly Land. And if you don't love him, you don't think he's lovable. I know he's lovable. I know him. Now, you might know him in some ways I'll never know him. Well, let me just tell you, that's my baby. I don't care where he goes. I don't care what he does. That's my baby. You can't punish him unless I say it's okay. You can't punish him as hard as you want to punish him because I'm going to be in the way. And when he gets really bad punishment, it's because I said it was okay and I'll do it if I want to. Am I sounding hypocritical? That's fine. God made the plan. This is God's program. That's my baby. That's right, and I decide. I know you got your part to play. You knew me. That's nice. But it's all Eve after that. This is the Bible. But she realizes that God saw the need and appointed, decided, uniquely designed a replacement. And that's what Sheth or Seth means. Amen? Amen? And it was indeed a new start, because if you look at chapter, I think it's chapter 5, you'll see that it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And verse 3 says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and image, and called his name what?
Seth.
Did you notice that? Starts with Seth. Doesn't start with Cain. Starts with Seth and then goes on from there. The other thing you'll notice that all the lineage always in the Bible is always descriptive, except for in the New Testament when we finally get to Mary's lineage, all the lineages are described in terms of men. That's just because it's a paternal society. And you're never going to get past that, ladies. It's part of the curse. And yet, we know from before chapter 5 how critical the woman is. And really, biblically, where is Adam? Man, I can't wait to preach that sermon. LaQuisha, probably in advance, let me just tell you, where is Adam is the title. Where is Adam? Question mark. I don't see it yet. I can see it. I don't know the text. I don't know. Well, I kind of know the text. I don't know what the word's going to, I don't know what it's going to be completely about in all the details, but we are going to have a sermon called Where is Adam? Amen? Amen? But this is the Women's Day. This is Mother's Day. And I want it to be clear to you, this is from God's word, the critical part that God chose for you to play. You are powerful. You are awesome. You're more complex. You're actually superior in most ways, and it's part of the curse that you'd be frustrated to be. You know you can run circles around men most of the time and on most subjects, and still you can't. That doesn't mean you can get over. Doesn't mean you can get over, especially if it's a God man. Especially if it's a God man. There's one trump card. I told you guys this four, five years ago, whenever it was. If you carry in that man card, and if you're really a man, I mean, if you really are really, really, really man, then your man card is black. But if you are card carrying God man, you didn't see it, did you? I just said it was black. But if you're a card carrying God man, now this complex superior being can attach to you and trust you and appreciate you and follow you. LaQuisha, stop shaking your head, and you're not gonna edit it. Just because I said that you could have a black man card. You guys are getting on me. Did you see a black card come out of my wallet? Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry about that. That was some identification card. It wasn't a credit card. Amen. But the point here is that women are amazing. Women are complex. Women are powerful. And mothers are special. Now, things don't always go as we hope. Things aren't always perfect. But that bond between a mother and her child is something that is ordained by God. And if it ever goes wrong, something terrible must have really happened. If that bond ever gets broken, something horrific must have really happened. Because it takes a lot. It takes some derangement or some crazy situations for a mother to detach from her child. And it takes similarly severe, deranged, tragic events to have the child detach from the mother. When that happens, you know something horrific, something satanic, something ungodly has occurred. And it can occur, and it does occur. And it is tragic every single time. So you think folks are on the counseling couch because they've got daddy issues. There's also folks on the counseling couch because they have mother issues. Because that bond is supposed to be extra, 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 extra special. This is what God ordained. God put her in charge of that child's upbringing in that way. God decided to do that. And men, we can't multitask the way a lady can. She can handle all the other household things and still be the one that rears the child up and make sure the child has a spiritual upbringing and all that. We're just not built that way. When we get home after a hard day, how many things can we do? Okay. Okay. And she can come home and do all those things and still have the time and energy to worry about what you're doing or not doing. Isn't that amazing? How does it happen? How can she be doing all that and still got time to tell you what you're not doing? Amen? She wants you to have that same burden that she has. But guess what? Part of the curse. He's riding along comfortably, having his peace in his F-150. And you have this complex spaceship that you're trying to negotiate and navigate in life. And while it is superior, it is also a burden. When you just want to go around the corner to the grocery store, can we just hop in the car and go? No. The woman, you've got all these gadgets and all these dials and all these levers. And men, you're supposed to know intuitively how to drive it. You're just supposed to know what's wrong with you. You married this Lamborghini. You're supposed to be able to drive it and drive it well, the way I want you to and when I want you to and to the place that I want you to. And I should not have to tell you the place that I wanted to go, because you should have been listening when I gave you the hints. Okay, when we were talking about a whole nother subject, but I let you know, you should know. She's complex. She is amazing. And God made it that way, amen?
Amen.
So Eve demonstrates for us an understanding of God's character and the spiritual nature of what was going on. And she uses language that helps us understand where she is and the fact that she knows what the situation is about. It's not just about having a baby, but God appointed a replacement for me. Amen?
Amen.
So hopefully you now see how amazing women are and how powerful their influence is on our lives. And it does indeed take an extreme, horrific situation to break that bond. And we pray God's blessing on all mothers and indeed all women on this very, very special day. Let's give the Lord a hand, praise. Amen. 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 This is not one of those sweat messages, although I am sweating a little bit. This is not one of those jump up and shout and run the walls messages. This is a message that just stops for a moment and looks at the mother of all mankind and helps us understand the nature of woman and the role of women, and in particular, mothers. They have a special place on earth.
Amen.
God decided it, and we just need to honor that. We need to celebrate that. We need to embrace it. And they're going to be the way they are. It's not going to change. And it was meant to be that way. Our jobs are to understand that that's how God made it and figure out how to roll with it. Amen? Because we have a part to play, and it goes beyond knowing a woman. We're going to find out where Adam is. Just not today. Just not today. But I think that this text was appropriate to highlight the role of women, to highlight the bond that comes with a mother and a child. And the fact that women have always, Adam had God to himself for a minute, but after that, the woman has been closer to God than most men. And that can be problematic. It can be problematic. You should be able to go to your dad and get a spiritual word. You should be able to go to your dad and get some counsel and not only have it be pragmatic, like how to fix a car, how to change a battery, but how to plug into God. Because he ought to be plugged into God, and he ought to be able to tell you, because he's been there, how to navigate those waters. You shouldn't have to go to your mother for that, particularly if you're a male. But the question, where is Adam, is a legitimate one. But for today, we're just focusing on Eve. We're just focusing on the women. We're focusing and acknowledging and celebrating our women. So take time today. Hopefully after this, you have an even greater reason to accept who your daughter, your wife, your mother, your grandmother is, and how God made her. And then maybe if you can embrace that, you can understand, how am I supposed to roll with her? Amen?
Amen.
And how can I make it easier and better for her to roll with me? Because she's going to be that. She's going to have that bond. She's going to have those opinions. She's going to have those words. She's going to have that intuition that you can't see what she can see, and she's not going to back off of it. Okay? So how do you rise to the occasion to give her the appropriate compliment in life? Will you? Have you? Can you? Because the woman that God created and the mothers that God instituted deserve that. So I can't wait for that day when we go to that message. Where is Adam? Amen. Amen.